Rainmaker FM is brought to you by Digital Commerce Institute. Do you want to build the business of your dreams without squandering time and money, stumbling around to find the right path, or making unnecessary mistakes? The market is ready and waiting for you, but that doesn't mean it's gotten any easier. Digital Commerce Institute is here to change that. Go to rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce and get the training, education, and community you need to start building your digital business the right way. That's rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce.
Welcome to Technology Translated, episode 20. And on this episode, our guest is Damani Daniel. Damani is not only a longtime friend, but he is a masterful event planner. So I thought for this milestone episode, it would be fun to have an episode of Technology Translated that had a guest who wasn't necessarily a technologist. Don't get me wrong, Damani knows his tech, but at one point in time or another, all of us end up working on an event of some kind. We may be part of a committee or the actual organizer, but we all end up helping out and doing events here and there. So I thought it would be interesting to get the take of a master event planner on the tech that he likes to use to make things more manageable, to make his life easier when it comes to planning for an event, engaging people in an event, and even following up or keeping in touch with people after an event. So I think this is going to be fun and a little bit different, and hope you guys enjoy it. Let's get into the show. Damani, thank you for joining me on Technology Translated. It's good to have you here.
Excited about being here. Excited about being here for sure.
Yeah, we're glad to have Isaac with us as well. So I hope he's happy there in the background.
This is the first time that I've ever had a seven-week-old on any of the podcasts or interviews that I've ever done. So we'll see how this works out.
It's always good to have a first in some regard. Hopefully he'll chime in at some point and let us know what he thinks.
Yeah, you'll definitely know it if he has that opinion.
Today, we're going to talk about technology and events. I would describe you, having worked with you over several years on Digital Dallas, as a master event planner. You know what you're doing. You've got this thing down pat. So we thought it would be fun to talk about some of the tech, some of the tools, some of the things that you use, because a lot of people out there are also going to have events at some point in time. Many of them are not professional event planners. Let's talk a little bit about some of the tools that you like to use. What are some of the things that make your life easy and fun?
Well, I mean, that's a loaded question, right? Because, I mean, I live and breathe technology. I always say that technology is one of the most effective ways to transform an event and to capture data during the event that you can actually use to change and evolve and make your event that much stronger. That question really depends on what we're doing. Like, if we're just talking about having fun, I'm really in love with Snapchat right now. I know I'm not in the early adopter stage anymore, but I'm old as compared to the average Snapchat user, so I give myself a little bit of grace there. But beyond that, I'm a huge fan of figuring out ways to use technology during events to make people feel more like when they use technology in their regular lives. You know, you have your phone. When you need something, you say, okay, Google, or you talk to Siri and tell your phone what it is that you need, and it happens. When you are at your house, if you have a smart home, you walk in the door and it recognizes you based on a key fob and turns on the lights to the brightness that you want them and turns the TV to the station that you want and turns the heat to the temperature that you want. And all of these things just happen automatically, or as some would say automagically. But when it comes to the types of technology that are being used at events, there's typically and all too often a level of additional work that has to happen in order to make the technology work. And that just doesn't make any sense. For me, the things that most excite me and that I kind of love playing around with are technologies that make your events feel like your everyday.
Okay, I like that. Are there any specific automation technologies or things like that that you're starting to see that you might want to cue anybody in on that's also looking for that kind of a thing?
Yeah, the events industry is notoriously a little behind the times as far as the adoption of technology. I heard a buddy of mine, Kevin White, say that events haven't really evolved in, well, forever. They have the same five basic things. They've got people, a place, food, if you're lucky, booze, and some form of entertainment. And that's pretty much every event you've ever been to. The difference is they change the colors, and they may have more money to spend on food or more money to spend on entertainment than the last event that you went to. But those are the same five basic components. And some of the things that I'm really loving as people are starting to adopt now, even though they've been out for a while, is I love beacon tech. Some people call it iBeacons, but it's not a technology that's solely relegated to being used for Apple products or iOS products. But I'm loving what's possible with beacons. I'm loving what's possible with not just automation, but personalization. Recognizing that you, Scott, are different and have different interests at an event than I would, and serving up content, serving up an experience to you that is different slightly or in significant ways than the experience that I'm having. Because then when I walk away from the event, I feel like I was there for an event for me. And so beacons are doing that. You're doing some stuff with NFC or RFID personalization using data that people capture either via an online survey pre-event or pulling content from your LinkedIn or Facebook or any other social profile. So those are the kinds of things that I'm really seeing people latch onto more than anything else and really become a part of the event experience is personalization and then the customization of that event based on the personalization experience.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I think there's a lot of interesting things in that space that are happening. It amazes me when I go to events how often I still run into things like paper check-in sheets and stuff like that that can really smooth out an event if the planners and the organizers can automate some of those things.
I made a decision at the end of last year, beginning of this year, to try to go paperless. And I did it because I was just tired of having to figure out what to do with all the paper that I had. I'm the same way. Whenever I go to an event and you're still asking me to check in on some antiquated paper check-in sheet, or you're asking me to go through some manual four-step process, it just doesn't make any sense to me, right? I just don't understand why it has to be that way when in so many other areas of our life, we're trying to make things simpler.
On the point of going paperless, what do you use? I'm an Evernote guy, but do you use something different that's better for events, or what do you use?
I'm using Evernote right now, and I love it. And I'm trying to get to a power user status, right? I'm trying to get to the place where I am using it to the best of its ability, because I know that I wasn't. So I've been reading blogs and checking out other people who have gone paperless to see how exactly it is that they're doing it. And that's been really kind of fun. I went ahead and bought Fujitsu ScanSnap because it's magical. I had the Neat scanner, and it was a waste of $400 ultimately for me. So I went ahead and bought the, you know, $500 or $600 ScanSnap, and I've loved it. But I'm loving Evernote for sure because of the way that it archives everything and the fact that it turns PDFs into searchable documents. That's what I'm doing with paperless on the general business management side. But then there are a couple other platforms that I use. So some of my clients use Google Docs because they understand that it's an easy platform for them to wrap their heads around. And so we do a lot of planning in Google Docs, but it's not as effective for all the little details that go into planning an event. My favorite event planning tool right now is a company called Planning Pod, and they are designed to take the planning process online. So that's everything from the time that I send out a contract to when I receive payments, and then timelines and checklists and things of that nature are all happen in Planning Pod. And there are a number of other tools that are out there depending on the scope of the event that you're producing. Google Docs is my primary way of communicating with clients. Like I said, Evernote is what I do for brainstorming and planning on the business side of things.
Going back to the scanner real quick, is that the actual Evernote branded scanner?
I didn't get the ScanSnap Evernote scanner because it theoretically worked better with Evernote, but there was a lot of functionality that you didn't get with it. There's a lot of the general Fujitsu ScanSnap functionality that you didn't get, and I liked that functionality. And I don't know that I got enough on the quote-unquote Evernote branded side of it to make it worth it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm also currently on the Neat, and it's actually been very good for me in the sense that it scans a fair amount of stuff quickly and easily, certainly more so than any scanner I'd had before. But I'm such a heavy Evernote user that I am looking for something that would integrate better. So thanks for that recommendation. So let's move on to some of the other platforms and maybe some of the customer facing types of platforms that you like for events. Things like ticket sales and social monitoring. Eventbrite, who you worked for once upon a time, is probably the big one. Are you still a big fan of the way they do things? Or are there some other good ones out there?
No, I'm still a fan because they keep innovating and they haven't rested on their laurels. They've continued to create new ways of engaging with attendees. When I left, they were starting to do a lot more music festivals. So your Bonnaroo-esque festivals, not Bonnaroo necessarily, but festivals like that, Governor's Ball in New York. And at almost every one of those music festivals, you're seeing these RFID wristbands because it's cumbersome and a little bit ridiculous to try to carry around a wallet with cash or credit cards, because if you lose it, you're screwed. And so your RFID wristband becomes your everything. It becomes your ticket. It becomes your access pass. It becomes the way that you pay for drinks. Eventbrite released an RFID ticketing solution where you can get wristbands directly through Eventbrite. They acquired a company that allowed them to be able to play in that space. And so the fact that they see where there are opportunities in the market and they're moving more and more towards becoming a one-stop shop when it comes to some of these things is pretty impactful to me.
It's pretty amazing. I have not heard about the RFID wristbands from Eventbrite specifically, so we'll definitely have to look into that. Man, that's got a ton of possibility wrapped around it.
Absolutely. They're still my favorite, and it depends on what you're trying to do. Eventbrite is great for basic registration and a couple of ancillary breakout sessions. But if you're trying to do some really heavy conference registration where you've got people registering for multiple individual elements, Eventbrite doesn't necessarily work as well. I'm not saying they won't in a year or two, but right now there are still other platforms that work a little better. I don't really use them because that's not really the scope of what we do as a company. But Eventbrite, for most of what you need from a ticketing and registration standpoint, is still my favorite.
And they have great apps, too, for checking people in and making that whole thing super simple. Okay, let's talk about the social side, because this is where, for me, the events start to come to life and become a little bit more fun. When I'm at the event and they're doing things like sharing Instagram pictures and tweets and all kinds of other social content that people are creating at an event, I think it brings it to life in a way that not having those things nowadays almost makes it feel like it's missing. But are there any particular tools that we're talking specifically at an event you found have been working very well for you?
I've tried a number of different social screens, and at their core, they all do exactly the same thing. They all go out and look for hashtags in the internet ether, pull them in, either the images or the text, and then display them at some level of visual. I mean, if you're a halfway decent programmer, theoretically, you should be able to do the same thing yourself. Really where it breaks down, though, is the ease with which you can get those things set up and the way that they look, that user experience. Because the user is two people. The user is both the event planner that is looking to push their social streams to the attendees, but the user is also the attendee. And so the user experience has to be positive for both of them. I've looked at a lot, and my favorite is still a company based out of Minneapolis by the name of SocialPoint. Interactive Meeting Technology is the parent company, and SocialPoint for Events is the kind of sub-brand that handles the social media screen side of things. They've got a number of really nice visualizations, and they're modular. So it's not just, hey, look, I can do social screens, but they can do analytics, and they can display those in a graphical format. They can do leaderboards to see who's tweeting the most, which isn't necessarily the most effective metric, but who's getting retweeted the most, which shows who your influencers are. They can do things like audience response management to really create an interactive experience for folks using technologies at their disposal. So using their mobile devices, using an internet browser. They're my favorite. There have been some other ones that deserve honorable mentions. Tint does some really fun stuff that I think is worth noticing. I just don't love their back-end user experience as much. But Tint is definitely something that if you are trying to get something started for yourself, it's really easy. I just don't think that if you're doing anything more than like a one-off party, that it makes sense to use something like Tint.
Okay, that's good advice. And for everybody listening, we will link all of this stuff up in the show notes. So you can just go to technologytranslated.fm and find our episode about events with Damani, and we will have links to all of that stuff in there. Let's go on to the promotion side of an event. Years ago, I got asked to do a couple of talks on social media for events, and this was very early in when the event industry was really starting to think about that stuff. It forced me to think through a couple of different aspects, and that was using social media not just during an event, which we just talked about and which was already starting to happen, but also how you use it before an event to get people engaged and after an event to keep momentum and to gather information and across all three of those before, during, and after to create some kind of a feedback loop so that you know what's happening with your event. I'm just kind of curious on your thoughts with how you go about creating that feedback loop. And are there any specific things that you like to do from a social standpoint, particularly as it pertains to technology, before or after?
One of the things that I tell my clients is we're not going to be the company that's going to put butts in seats. We're going to be the company that when those butts get in those seats, they're going to say, oh man, this is a freaking kick-ass event. And so we don't, as a company, delve as much into social media from a marketing standpoint as we do social media as an active part of the event during the event. That being said, I think that any time you're going to use social media, it ultimately boils down to making sure that your messaging is consistent and on point. And so I've seen people work with merging their physical event and their digital experience in advance. So things like, if you're going to have a host for your event, having that host become a part of the online community before people actually get there, releasing quick video blogs or doing promoted posts from their social accounts. That way, when people show up on site, they've already made the connection with Susan, Jack, Bob, Diane, whomever that is on stage being the MC or the host for the event. That's one of the things that I've seen be really successful. But I'll be honest, I'm not going to be the expert. There are other fantastic people. A good buddy of mine, Nick Borelli, is a social media demigod when it comes to figuring out how to create an effective strategy pre-event, because he works in the event space as well and has worked in the event space for a really long time. And so he understands better than most how to use social to engage folks during your event. And so I always defer to folks like him and bring in strategists like him, as opposed to trying to figure out how to do it on my own, because ultimately we're going to get it wrong.
Sounds like somebody we may want to have on the show in the future. Sounds like it would be a good conversation. Let's go out on this, man. Are there any other just basic tools, tips, technology hints for people out there? I'm organizing an event. I'm not a professional organizer. Anything you want to give us that would just make people's lives a little easier as they're biting that off?
It sounds like a sales pitch, but it's not. I mean, I always tell people that it's better to hire a professional, and I'm not advocating it necessarily to be me, but it's better to hire a professional if for nothing else than to consult. Because people oftentimes think if they do it themselves that they'll be able to save money. You know, they won't have to spend the money on hiring a quote-unquote professional. But that's akin to someone saying, you know, I know I'm not a doctor, but I've read a couple of books on doctoring and medical things. And so I'm just going to go ahead and do this quick bunion surgery because I'll save myself some money. But then you do it wrong, your hand slips, and you end up having to call the guy in at the last minute anyway and paying twice as much. And so I always encourage people to at least consider the possibility of using a professional to produce your events, because you're ultimately the boss, right? Ultimately, it's your vision, it's your concept. But when it comes to technology, I think it's a matter of just trying things. It's a matter of knowing who your audience is. One of the biggest mistakes that you can make is coming to an event producer or a technology strategist like we are and saying, this is the technology that I absolutely must use during my event. Because all too often when that happens, when I ask the client or the potential client why they have to use this particular technology, it typically revolves around, well, it's the coolest, newest, latest, hottest, greatest thing. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's the best thing. So if you have a room full of octogenarians, maybe having a social media wall isn't your best option. It might be, but I'm going to bet that it's probably not. And so it's a matter of really doing an assessment of who's going to be at your event, what they're trying to accomplish, and then figuring out what technologies make the most sense. Because it might surprise you that the technologies that you wanted to use aren't the ones that you should be using, and things that you had never considered are ones that you should. Like, I was just introduced to a couple of companies that are starting to do social wearables. They're relatively low tech, sort of. Essentially what happens is you have a badge of some sort. In the badge is a light or a series of lights. And when you walk up, your light is red, or half the room is red, half the room is blue, or you can split it up into six different groups. And your goal is to meet folks and tap wearables to each other and then absorb their color. But the only way you absorb their color is by standing next to that person for, let's say, 2 to 5 minutes. Now, you're not just going to stand awkwardly next to someone for 2 to 5 minutes. You're going to engage in conversation. And that really gives you the opportunity to create a social experience that is birthed out of a digital technology. So things like that are things that most people aren't going to consider, but really do make an impact on how you can change your event and connect with people at your event.
Well, man, I think you just blew everybody's hair back with that one. I wasn't expecting that, but that was a fantastic answer. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
And that's a perfect way to go out. So I think we're going to end it there. Man, thank you so much for coming on the show today. If people want to reach out to you and learn more about you, about your services, where's the best place for them to find you?
They can go to theeventnerd.com. It's always a good place to start. They can also email me. My email address is holla, H-O-L-L-A, at theeventnerd.com. I'm on all the social platforms. I'm sure you'll list them all in the show notes, Insta and Twitter and Facebook. And since I'm really getting into Snapchat, everybody should follow me on Snapchat. My username is Damani D. And basically, it's me figuring out how to continue to build a business while being a work-from-home dad. Because every day, all day, it's me and Isaac Ellington Daniel running The Event Nerd from our office.
Awesome. And just so everybody knows, that is Damanyd on Snapchat. I've been having a lot of fun on Snapchat too, so hopefully we'll see more people popping up there.
Hope so.
All right, Damani, thanks again. And for everybody else, if you have any questions for Damani or for me or for any of our past guests, you can always tweet me or reach me at VS Ellis. Use the hashtag AskTechTrans and I will see your questions and we will get them answered. Until next week, we'll talk to you then. Technology Translated is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.